Welcome to the Seeds Excess Youth Podcast. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Friday night service. You make me feel so.
We drove around a bit, and it was usually me that drove because Christy didn't have a car, so it was normally me that drove. And I had a bit of a thing around that time where I like to mix up the different roads that I took to get to the same place. And I'm not the most amazing person when it comes to directions, but Christy didn't know that. And I think there was this basic principle in our relationship where I was skillful until proven incompetent. And so she thought that I was really good with something like directions. And so we'd drive around, and after a few times of taking fairly significant detours to places, she asked on one occasion, "Do you know where you're going?" And I said, "Not really." And she said, "Are we going to get to the place that we're going on time?" I'm like, "Well, let's find out. Let's just go and see if we get there in time." And I had enthusiasm, but not real clarity around where I was going. But it is important to know where you're going and to be going in the right direction. When we lived in Canada, I think every car that we got in had a little letter above the rearview mirror. And it was a little LCD display, and it told us what direction we were going in. And so it's not quite as good as a GPS, but it still tells you what direction you're heading in. When I first started driving, mobile phones were only just starting to come into being a thing, and I had no idea what GPS stood for. But over the last 20 years, there's been a significant change in the way that we navigate. My dad still will never use a GPS to get anywhere. He'll always look up stuff beforehand, and then he'll just remember it and go through the motions. But for a lot of people, you're like me. You're pretty dependent on the little blue dot to tell you where you're going, or the audio prompts and navigation. But it's amazing how things have changed. So with navigation and with direction, I don't think there's ever a time where we plan on getting lost. Like, it's not like you're going to say, "Oh, I think I'll go to Chicken Hub and get some lunch, and then I'll get lost for a while, and then I'll make my way to Dan's house." Like, it's just not going to happen, is it? But sometimes it does happen. We don't plan to get lost, but it can happen. Sometimes we don't go the path that we intend to take. If I was to go to Victor Harbor, or plan to go to Victor Harbor, but I travel north from here, I am never going to get to Victor Harbor. If I tell everyone, I'm off to Victor Harbor, it doesn't matter what I say. If I head north, I'm never going to get there. I could create a Facebook event and invite people to meet me in Victor Harbor, but if I travel north, I am never going to end up in Victor Harbor. And for those who are like, "Oh, well, you could go like all the way around the world to end up in Victor Harbor." Once you get to the North Pole, you can't go north. So that's not going to work. Just saying. If you go north, you cannot end up in Victor Harbor, if you start at Aberfoyle Park, that is. The direction that we go is more important than our intention. It's a really significant principle when it comes to navigating, whether you're traveling by foot or by bike or by car. It's a really important principle. It's more about the direction that you're heading than your intentions and your plans. But it's also true for life. It's actually more significant, the direction that you go, than the intention that you have. For example, if I was to say, "I really want to lose weight." Firstly, I'd be crazy because I'm too skinny as it is, but if I said I really want to lose weight and I just stuffed myself full of Big Macs and sat on the couch and watched heaps of TV, my intention of losing weight is not going to become an actuality, because the direction that I'm heading is actually the opposite. If I was to Imagine I wasn't already married. If I was to say, I want one day to be married and I'm going to be married to someone that's a Christian, faithful, and just someone that has exceptional character. But in the meantime, I'm just going to go out with whoever I kind of like the look of and see how it works out. If I compromise in areas of who I date, if I compromise in what I do when I'm with that person, that is far more significant than the intention of one day I'm going to do this. It's really easy for us to disconnect what we're currently doing with where we want to go. But it matters. It's not like once you turn a certain age, then your actions have consequences or mean something. That doesn't kick in or start later on. It actually comes into effect now. If you see someone who has this intimate relationship with God, you see someone who has a lot of, say, Bible knowledge and understanding, and you go, I want to be like that. And so you wake up every morning, and the first thing you do is to pick up, open up, and scroll through Facebook. That is the direction you're heading in. You might have intentions towards a certain thing, but your direction is actually taking you somewhere different. So we're looking at wisdom. That's our focus for this term, is looking at wisdom. And we're going to gather in small groups a little bit later on. So our format is slightly different tonight. So I'm going to speak for a little bit longer. We're going to have three songs. And then instead of going straight into cafe, we're going to spend some time in those small groups. In those small groups, you're going to have a few different Bible passages, a chance to have a look at that together as a small group and to see what the Bible says about wisdom, but also about our direction. There's this fascinating story of this man who's looking out the window and he sees a young man walking along. And he sees the young man walking towards a corner and a house. Her corner, her house. And the person that's doing the watching, it's like they already know what's going to happen as this person walks past. It hasn't happened yet, but they already know what's going to happen. And I wonder if you've ever seen someone, probably someone younger than you, could be a younger brother or sister, and you see what they start to do, and you're like, I know how that's going to end up. You see the start and you already know the finish. That was what was happening for this man as he's looking out the window. He saw how it started and he knew how it was going to finish. We often think that we are just making a decision that is an isolated incident or it's an event. But the reality is when you choose to do something, that is a path. So this is the principle of the path. Our choices are not isolated without consequences that impact the rest of our lives. It's not an isolated incident. It is a path with a destination. And it's really important we understand the destination for the path that we're stepping into. So this man sees this person, this young man walking along, and then he sees the woman come out. And he sees her entice him and take this young man back to her house. And the things that he notices, or the things that he calls before they even happen, are that this young man thinks he's just having a good time and it's something that isn't going to impact the rest of his life, but he doesn't realize that he's going to his death. And lists it in three different ways. That's a story from the Bible about King Solomon who's looking out 3,000 years ago. And it's not that different from today. But in a similar way to how you can look out and see someone that's younger than you doing something and you know the consequences of that, there's probably some people who can look at decisions that you've made or are making and work out what the consequences of that are going to be. So in the same way, it would be really beneficial for that younger person to listen to you. And that would really help them. There's people in your life that care for you, that understand and appreciate the consequences of your choices. You can listen. You can even ask. And you can learn a lot. Let's make the most of people that are around us. The wisdom of God is different. The reason why we need to be vigilant and we need to understand the direction that we're going, main verses for this term is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. Verse 16 tells us that the days are evil. It tells us that we're living in evil times. And so the default thing that's happening around you is not based on the wisdom from God, but from the wisdom of the world, which is selfishness. And so that's going to take you further away from God, further away from representing Him and being His ambassador in this world as we're called to be. Do you know how powerful you are? Do you know what He is calling you to? It is huge. And we need wisdom. And we need to choose which wisdom we're going to follow. And then we need to take steps towards following that wisdom. If you celebrate Jesus on a Friday night, you raise your hands and you lift your voice in worship for Him. But then throughout the week, you are on a completely different path depending on who you are with. There's a passage from James chapter 3 that we'll look at as well in the small groups, which describes and articulates what wisdom from above looks like. One of the words in there is impartial. You don't treat people different, and you are the same person wherever you are. I'm going to pray and invite the band to come back up. We're going to continue to worship. Father, I thank You so much for Your love for us. I want to thank You that You are here and You are with us right now. I thank You for every single person here. Thank You that You love each one enough to send Jesus in order to show their value, in order to purchase them back for Yourself, so that they can represent You here on this earth with You indwelling them and empowering them. I pray, Lord, right now for revelation, understanding the truth about who You are, what You've done, and what that means for each one of us. And I ask for insight into our decisions, that we would make wise choices, knowing the path that we are on. And Lord, once we see the path we're on, if we need to make a U-turn, would we make it right now? Come, Holy Spirit, and reveal Your truth to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet? I'd actually like to invite Joe Chapman to come up. I was talking to Joe before, and she was sharing with me some things from this week that she's learned about worship. And you may have seen Joe worship. She's pretty free in the way that she worships. I want to give her a moment just to articulate some of the things that she's been learning as we prepare to spend some time worshiping again. So we're going to have three songs now, and then after that, I'll explain it, but we'll break into the small groups after that. Thanks, Joe.
I've just been reflecting on heaven and what that means. And Bill Johnson has a sermon where he says that heaven isn't a place, it's a person. That heaven is the person of God. And when you, like, that's so significant. And when you think about it, Jesus is the full reflection of who God is. The Spirit of God lives in me, therefore, heaven lives in me. So when I walk, when I worship, I'm reclaiming things for the kingdom, for heaven. I'm allowing the reality of heaven to become the reality on earth, which is not what we're seeing right now. That's really powerful. And I want to remind you before we worship that our worship is powerful. Shane said, you might have seen me before, I tend to jump around. I don't do that because I'm just ignorant of bad things that are happening. I know what it feels like to be broken. I know what it feels like to feel like you're not getting answers. I'm not unaware of those things. But are you aware that our worship matters to God? Song of Songs says that our worship ravishes the heart of God. That's so significant. So when we worship, we're allowing heaven to penetrate earth. We're walking in what He paid for us to walk in. Your worship, it's not just something we do because it's fun. It changes things. I've seen it physically change situations to worship God. It's what we're designed to do. There is power when we sing together. And I know what it's like to sing feeling broken. Sing anyway. It's still the truth. He wants freedom for us. I declare that in the name of Jesus, that we would be ambassadors of heaven, not just because He wants to throw us a bone, because heaven lives inside of us. We have access to it now. When we walk in that, when we treat worship like it matters, things change physically. Watch it happen. I'm believing in this room tonight, things are going to change. If you don't feel free, He paid for you to be free. So worship and watch chains fall off. It will happen. Our worship matters. We're going to stand and sing. Watch physically as things change. If you don't believe it, I encourage you, sing anyway. It matters. We're bringing the reality of heaven here. What a privilege. It's a privilege to worship. To partner with the work of God is so significant. Don't pass it off as something to get through in the night. It matters. Let's sing, hey.